Welcome back to Crunch Time. It's time for the Crunch Exchange, brought to you by the Josh Cooley team of Keller Williams Realty. Alex presents the prospectus. Steve lets us know if he's buying, selling, or if it's pending. Sell your home worry-free with Josh Cooley, Keller Williams Realty.
Emma, yet again, in and out like a thief in the night, giving us our voiceover for that, and then just running out the door. Bye, Emma.
In the Cumulus version of Batman, she's going to be Catwoman. She's just, you can't keep up with
her. She's very sneaky. It is Crunch Exchange time. I'm going to, as you heard Emma say, I'm going to give Steve the prospectus. He's going to tell us if he's buying or selling, or pending, which he actually used last week, so he does use it sometimes.
Pending.
He's just using it right now. I'm not gonna click it. Once again, the huge news of the day in March during college basketball season, with conference tournaments literally happening right now, comes from the NFL and the Denver Broncos. The plan for them coming into this offseason was to win their Super Bowl, have Peyton Manning ride off into the Colorado sunset and retire a champion, then sign Brock Osweiler to a long-term deal to take the reins and lead the team to its next decade of success. Well, best laid plans of Elway and Kubiak fell a bit short today because Osweiler signed a humongoid deal with the Texans to the tune of 4 years, $72 million. Yes, that is $18 million a year for a quarterback who many are high on, but has only started 7 games as an NFL player. Certainly, many seem to think this will set back the Broncos a bit because they now have to hit the reset button on the most important position, but there are options out there for them to pursue. Before I get to those, the first prospectus. Not re-signing Brock Osweiler was a huge blow to the Broncos.
I think that's an easy buy. There's no other answer right now.
Cha-ching. Now, a rumor people have put out there today is that the Broncos are interested in trading for Colin Kaepernick. Jason Cole of Bleacher Report tweeted today that the 49ers don't have any interest in dealing Kaepernick despite the interest from Denver, which makes me want to go jump off a bridge. But it's interesting that that's the way Denver would want to go. You buy or sell that they should go after Kaepernick?
Well, let's get back to 2 weeks ago. You asked me right here, buying or selling, that Kaepernick will be Chip Kelly's starting quarterback, and I bought it.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to stick to my guns there, thus sell this one.
The Texans stayed busy today after getting Osweiler, signing his backfield mate Lamar Miller from the Dolphins. Miller ran for 8 touchdowns, 872 yards last season in Miami. Add those two guys to one of the best wideouts in the NFL in DeAndre Hopkins, and you all of a sudden have a talented young offense. Arguably one of the best young offensive units in the NFL. I say arguably because there's a small chance I'm going to ask you about it. They went 9-7 last season, made the wild card after winning their division with no running game and Brian Hoyer as their quarterback. Now they seemingly have upgraded those things. The prospectus, the Texans, while not actually the best, are now a contender for the best team in the AFC next season.
Hoyer, Mallett, Yates, Brandon Whedon all started games for Houston.
And they went 9-7 and we're a wild card team.
No, that they're as interesting as anybody because now you're like, well, could they contend with Denver? Well, they darn sure could now. You wonder what's going to become of Indy. I don't think beyond New England. So are they one of the 3-4 best teams in the AFC? Why the hell not buy it?
The Jets made the other big signing today in former Bears running back Matt Forte. Forte, 30 years old, which is essentially a death knell for running backs in the NFL, might as well reserve a room in a home and set up life support system for him. Forte has had a great career, though. Just 3 seasons under 1,000 yards in his 8 seasons, and he averages 61 per year in his career. He had career lows, 44 catches, 898 yards rushing last year because he missed a few games with an MCL injury. The Jets just lost Chris Ivory to the Jags. Now it appears Ryan Fitzpatrick is on his way out as well. The Jets are a mess, which I know you love. But the prospectus, Forte, assuming he even has a couple decent years left, is a good signing for them.
Ebony and Chris Ivory. Matt, not one, not two, not three, but Forte, trying to become the first running back ever to be hurt, have an awful season at 30, and catch lightning in a bottle. It's the Jets. Fail. Sell.
You are black and I am white.
Yeah. You are blind as a bat while I have sight.
Genius. Oh, that is one of the best things SNL has ever done.
By the way, in case you think we're making fun of people, yeah, that was Joe Piscopo and Eddie Murphy. Let us be.
So funny. If you haven't seen it, look it up for God's sake. The Oregon Ducks are all set for a quarterfinals matchup tomorrow with the Huskies after UW destroyed Stanford today. They are widely viewed by everybody who puts together brackets as the 2 seed in the Spokane Regional. Done. Lock. Oregon loses tomorrow. That's what they'll be. No doubt about it.
Whoa.
But that's not quite set in stone yet. The Ducks beat Washington. They likely match up with Arizona. Then likely match up with Utah or Cal in the conference title game if they win that game. They get wins over those teams again. Some, including Mike Yam yesterday, are saying that they could be a 1 seed and should be a 1 seed in the NCAA tournament. Oregon right now is 7th in the AP poll, 4th in CBS's RPI. RPI says they should already be a 1. But the prospectus, if Oregon wins the conference tournament, they will be a 1 seed.
You know what? Just based on what we were talking about and how much parity there is, whoever's ahead of them now, one or two of them are going to lose based on what's happening this season. Oregon wins the Pac-12 conference. I literally wish I could bet like a grand that they'd be a 1 seed. I'm way buying that.
Cha-ching! The Los Angeles Lakers have done some insane things this week. And by crazy insane, I mean they won 2 games in a row.
They're nuts.
They're off the charts. There aren't any charts. But one of those wins was a shellacking of the Warriors, 112-95. Steph and Clay were non-factors, and the young nucleus of the Lake Show showed up big, which they also did last night against the Magic in their 107-98 win without Kobe on the floor. D'Angelo Russell is coming into his own, averaging 24 points over his last 7 games, including a career-high 39 against Brooklyn. Julius Randle, Jordan Clarkson put up 23 and 24 as well last night. Some are saying the Lakers, as soon as the ghost of Kobe Bryant flies away, could be a pretty good team. The West is obviously loaded at the top. Making a run at the 7 or 8 spot isn't impossible. The prospectus, the Lakers will make a run at the 8 seed next season.
Well, what makes you say they can't win out? They've got 18 games left.
Oh, they're
going to
get the title, yeah.
Houston's got 19, and they're only 18 back.
Hottest team in the NBA last 2 games.
Next year, that's a sell. I'm not buying them going from 14 wins. Oh, I'm sorry, what? No. That's a sell. Are you trying to tell me that was the last part?
I'm trying to tell you that's the last one.
Oh, okay.
Jeez.
There was a lot of finger pointing. I was doing the math.
Hand signals.
LA is
not really working.
43 and a half games behind the Warriors. They're probably not going to catch them.
They beat them. They beat them, so they're better than them, right?
They're
better than them, right?
Are LA fans sitting around looking at tiebreakers?
We're the favorite in the West now.
Think about that. They had their big 2-game winning streak, and they're still 4 games behind the crappy Suns in next to last. So they are very well entrenched. They're not 76er entrenched in last. How bad is that? Are you in last? Yeah, well, but you could jump a couple of spots. Nope. We're more than 10 games behind the next to last team. They're looking 10 games up at the Nets in the East. By the way, this says a lot for that I-95 Turnpike quadrant. Who's the worst team? Philly. Well, if you drive 2 hours, you get to New York. How they're doing? Third to last. Well, if you go over the Williamsburg Bridge into Brooklyn, how they doing? Second to last. There's your 3 worst teams in the NBA East.
Is there a more depressing existence as a professional athlete than like just living through the farewell tour of a player who is like still so entrenched in your team that they like dominate minutes, dominate touches, doing all this stuff, so your team is not very good because they're old and not very good anymore?
Think about all of us fantasized about being a pro athlete, high level athlete. So now it's happening. You're in the league, you're in the association, you're thinking, oh my God, I can get to the playoffs, I can get to the NBA finals, I could live on that stage. I grew up watching Michael and all those great guys. and the professional organization I'm playing for has decided winning isn't important. They're throwing away a season.
Yes, they are.
That's unbelievable how that could happen.
So you're just as like this really good young player, and you're trying to figure things out. You're wanting to win games more than anything on earth, and you're sitting there losing by 30, watching Kobe Bryant smile and wave at the fans and give hugs to players he used to play against.
What you're thinking is, if as a player I had this attitude, they would run me out of the league.
Yes.
They would be like, what is wrong with you? You really have no interest in trying to win. Well, my billionaire owner and multi-zillionaire GM are like, don't worry about this. This is a throwaway professional season. Wow, that's brutal.